This morning we continue our sermon series from the Gospel of Mark, looking this morning at Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. Remember that in what has just previously happened in chapter 3, we saw much controversy and conflict between Jesus and the Jewish leaders who had begun to oppose him. These leaders of the Jewish people are now beginning to conspire to kill Jesus. They are doing that explicitly. And their first steps of their plan is being put into action as they are beginning to accuse Jesus of being in league with Satan himself, which, if true, would have been a capital offense. And in response to all this controversy and conflict and heightened tension, we find here at the beginning of Mark 4 something surprising and striking. In the midst of all of this, Jesus does this. He tells a story. He tells a story. Listen to this morning to God's Word as it is found in Mark 4, verses 1 to 20. It's printed also for you in the back of your order of worship if you'd like to read along. And again, he, that is Jesus, began to teach beside the sea. And a very large crowd gathered about him so that he got into a boat and set in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, Jesus said to them, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see, but not perceive, and may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." And he said to them, that is Jesus, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Thus far, the reading of God's word. It is absolutely true. It is given to you because your Father in heaven loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed you have caused all the Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, So grant us now this morning to hear this text and to read, mark, learn, and even inwardly digest it, that we may more deeply embrace and hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life, your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is a dangerous thing to preach the parables. It's dangerous. You see, there's a very real sense in which a good parable, like a good poem or a good joke, is impossible to summarize or explain at all. And if you do somehow end up doing it, you run the risk of ruining it in the process by explaining it. To be honest, I have thought about just doing something different today, just maybe reading this parable out to you a couple times. It is, after all, a sermon already, preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived. And then maybe just sit down and we'll just think about it, you know, for 10 minutes or so. I thought about that, but I'm not going to do that. With that said, though, with not a small bit of fear and trembling on my part, we'll give it our best shot this morning. This parable of the sower is the first parable in Mark, which means that we need to begin this morning by thinking about the parables in general. So what are parables, and what are the parables of Jesus in particular? It's important to say from the outset that despite what you might think at first glance, Jesus' parables are not, they are not quaint little sermon illustrations that are meant to help his listeners understand him better. That is not what they are. Quite the opposite, actually. You have to put that out of your head completely. You see, in verses 11 and 12 in our passage, Jesus told his disciples the reason why he speaks in parables. He does it so that those who are on the outside may indeed see, but not perceive. That they may indeed hear, but not understand. In other words, Jesus begins to tell parables not to help everyone who hears him understand him better, but rather to deliberately confuse those who are set against him. The parables are not sermon illustrations. The parables are intentionally strange and confusing riddles that only those who know Jesus will be able to actually understand. Now, why would Jesus do this? Why would he begin to speak in parables? Remember the timing of this in the procession of the Gospel of Mark. The Jewish leaders at this point in Jesus' ministry have already decided that they want to kill Jesus. They are already conspiring with the Herodians to bring it about. But Jesus knows that it is not yet time for him to die. It is not yet time for him to die. And so when he speaks publicly during this time of his ministry, Jesus no longer is going to speak broadly and openly and directly, but in parables, so that his enemies will be confused and unable to fully understand what he is saying. This teaching by parable, so to speak, it will last until Jesus finally goes up to Jerusalem to die. And there he will tell another parable, a final parable, the parable of the vine dresser and his vineyard, a parable that is so clear and unambiguous that even the Pharisees will be able to understand it and know that he is telling it against them. But Jesus tells his parables not only to confuse those who are outside his circle, he also tells parables to instruct and to enlighten those who are on the inside, those who are his disciples, those who have begun to follow him and put their trust in him. In verse 11, Jesus tells his disciples to you. Remember, Jesus is alone now with his 12 and the others who are following him. He is not speaking to the crowds. He's speaking to this little circle. He says, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. But for those outside, everything is in parables. In this statement, Jesus reveals two more important realities about this parable and all the parables that follow. First, a right understanding of the parables is not something we can achieve on our own, in our own wisdom and knowledge. It is something that must be granted to us as a gift by God through Jesus. And second, the purpose of the parables is to do this, It is to reveal the secret of the kingdom of God. It is to reveal the secret, the surprise, the dramatic twist, the punchline of the kingdom of God. In other words, to put it bluntly, and hear me on this if you hear nothing else this morning. To put it bluntly, Jesus' parables, as much as you might think they or want they are them to be, they are not about you. Jesus' parables aren't about you. They're about God. They're about God and His kingdom and how it works and the secret that is at the heart of it. They are not about you. Now this insight that the parables are not really about us, but really about God and His kingdom, it is crucial to rightly understand all the parables, but perhaps most importantly, this parable, the parable of the sower and the seed. Because what is the first question that you are likely to ask when you hear this parable, friend? When you hear this parable of the sower and the seed and the soils and the harvest they bring, you want to put yourself in it, right? Where am I in this parable? What kind of soil am I? How can I become a different kind of soil if I don't like that soil? And maybe more importantly, what is kind of soil is that other person that I know? Right? What about them? This is how we are inclined to read this parable, is because we think the parables are about us, but they are not. They are about the secret of the kingdom of God. This is not primarily the parable of the soils. It is the parable of the sower and his seed, which is the word and the harvest that the word will bring. So how does this parable reveal to us this secret? The secret of the kingdom of God. It's really kind of simple, I think. Rightly understood, this parable is about Jesus' own life and ministry, particularly his life and ministry among these people to whom he is speaking, this first century generation of Israel. It is about the love of the Father as he sows the word by means of his Son. The Son is the word of God spoken by him. It is about the grace of Jesus, who is the seed implanted in the soil, and it is about the abundant harvest that the Spirit will bring. Think about how this parable begins. The sower sows his seed, which is the word, as Jesus explains to his disciples later. But look at the way that the sower sows. Let's think about that for a moment. It's not like any farmer I've ever seen. He doesn't sow carefully. He's not thrifty with his seed. He just flings it around, right, with wild abandon, like he's not ever going to run out. And he puts it in all kinds of surprising places. Right, there's the sower on the path at the beginning, and oh, look, he sows seed there, on the path. On the path, really? Right, isn't that foolish? Well, that's where people walk, after all. It's called the path for a reason. Right, what is going to grow on the path? It is hard ground, but this sower, who is God, he doesn't care. He sows his seed there anyway. And now, look, here's some rocky ground. Nothing but stones here. Surely the sower will skip this spot and look for something that is more promising. But no, he dips his hands in the bags and he pulls out the seeds by the handfuls and he flings them there as well, all in among the stones. Oh, and here's a thorn bush. A briar patch, as I grew up saying. Right, it's a big mass of thorns and thistles. It is not the place for a grain field. Not right now, anyway. Maybe we could burn it to the ground. Try it next year. But wait. The sower who is the Father, he is sowing his word even here, throwing his seed right in there, into the thorns, into the briar patch. And then finally he gets to the fertile ground. The ground that is good, and he sows the word there as well. Think for a moment what it would have been like to be a farmer in the first century and to listen to this parable for the first time. Pretend you haven't heard it 100 times, but for the first time, and you are a farmer. What is going to be the first thing that farmer would have thought? Probably something like this. That is the worst farmer I've ever heard of, right? I would not want to be him come wintertime. So wasteful, so flagrant, so ridiculous. But friends, that is the point of the parable. That That is the secret of the kingdom of God that it reveals. You're supposed to think the farmer is a little ridiculous. You're supposed to think that he is foolish. Because the thing that this parable reveals about the secret of the kingdom of God is the profound wisdom of the love of the Father. As the sower sows his seed, the breadth and the abundance of God's love in Christ is a wisdom that is foolish in the eyes of the world. It is folly. It is ridiculous. And it reaches its culmination in the foolishness of the cross. But the secret of the kingdom of God has been revealed to us. And so we know, friends, we know, as Paul tells us, that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. You see, in this parable, God is the most foolish farmer who ever lived. He sows his seed with wild abandon, and it is a picture of the divine love that he possesses and the wisdom of it, which is so different than the wisdom of men. Think for a moment, isn't that true of so many of the parables that Jesus tells? At the center of so many of these parables that he will tell during his ministry, there often seems to be this character at the center of them that lacks even the most basic human instincts, right? Especially self-interest and self-preservation. It's almost as though this character who appears again and again in his parables is not human at all. Think for a moment about the parable of the lost sheep. You know this one. The shepherd has 100 sheep and he loses one. And so as Jesus says, the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep in open country to go look for the one that got lost. I mean, what kind of shepherd does that, right? That's not how shepherds work. That's the story of the worst shepherd who ever lived. Right? Just losing one shepherd out of 100, that is pretty good. That is a 99% retention rate. I will take that. Why in the world would you risk losing the 99 who weren't dumb enough to get lost in the first place to go look for the one who was? Right? Natural selection, am I right? You know? But that is the parable that Jesus gives us of the Father's love. And the foolishness of the shepherd is the point. It is the secret of the kingdom of God. How about the story of the prodigal son, right? At the beginning of that story, the son comes to the father and he asks for his inheritance immediately. Now, while his father is still alive, he says, I want it now. All of that is coming to me. And what does the father do? He doesn't blink an eye. He just pulls out the checkbook and says, okay, here you go. Now, who would do that? Which of us would do that with our retirement savings? I mean, if we give away all our money before we die, what is going to be left for us? This is a parable of the worst retirement planner ever, right? And it's a parable of the Father's love. Because the secret at the heart of the kingdom of God is the self-giving love of God. It is a love that does not protect itself. It is a love whose weakness is stronger than the strength of men. How about the story of the king who gives a banquet? And when his friends won't come, what does he do? He invites the bums, the riffraff, the strangers, whomever his servants can find wandering in the street that night. That's who he says should come to my party. Is that how you throw parties, friends? It is not. It is not how you throw parties. Who knows what these people will do if they come into your house? Who knows who they are? It is a picture of the most egregiously, ridiculously planned party that ever was. But that is the secret that is at the heart of the kingdom of God, the Father's love. But what about the parable? Think of this one, of the owner of the vineyard. This vineyard owner sends his servants over a number of years to the tenants of the vineyard. And what do? They assault his servants. They beat them with their fists. They leave them bloody and waiting for death. And they do it again and again. That's what these tenants do. And finally, the owner of the vineyard says to himself, you know what? It hasn't worked out so well with my servants. I'll send my son. That should go pretty well. What? What? Is that what you would do in that situation? All your servants have been beaten up by these people again and again and left for dead, and so you are now going to send your son? And you think they'll listen to him? And then you know what happens. They kill him. They kill the son. And well, what did you think would happen, Father? That's a story of the most foolish, naive, ridiculous father who ever lived. Where is his sense of protection for his son? Where is his wisdom? Where is his long-term planning? He is a fool in that story. He is. But friends, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And the foolishness of his love is the secret that is at the heart of his kingdom. And the same is true here in this story about the foolish sower and his wildly unwise approach to sowing seed, right? His unorthodox method. The Father is the sower. The seed is the Son. And he will now sow his Son here and now, in this time and place, in the midst of this evil and wicked generation of Israel. These people whom he has loved, even though they have beaten and killed all of his servants before him. The Father will sow his Son here in Israel at this time, knowing that much of the ground in this generation is rotten and hardened and no good at all. The Father is not surprised by this. He knows that in some places Satan waits like a bird to devour his son. The Father knows that in some places his son will be initially welcomed by this generation, but then when persecution comes and danger comes, even those who seem to love him will turn against him. The Father knows that in other places there are thorns that wait to choke the life from his son. But still he sows him. Even in those places, he sows his son. He sows him because he knows, even in the midst of this wicked generation, there is good ground. There is ground that has been prepared by his Spirit. And in this ground, his son will bear much fruit. And what fruit it will be? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. But don't mistake what happens here. Even for that harvest to come, there is a cost. Because even in the good ground for the harvest to come, the seed must die. Remember what Jesus himself told his disciples in the final days before his death. In these words, he was almost certainly providing commentary on this very parable. He said about himself, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." And in this way, the foolish love of the Father is fulfilled in the death of the Son. For this is a story of the Father who sows the word with wild abandon. This is the story of the same Father who will leave the 99 to search for the one, the same Father who will give away lavishly all that he has without blinking an eye. This is the same Father who will invite the bums to his party to eat his food and steal his silverware. And he doesn't care. This is the Father who will send his beloved Son defenseless and alone to face the wrath of the wicked tenants. It is not like any father I know. But in all these things, the word of the Father is fulfilled when he spoke by the prophet Isaiah and said, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall the word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose. It shall succeed in the thing for which I send it. The Father sows the seed. The seed is His Son. And no matter what kind of soil, He will accomplish the purpose for which He was sent. By some He will be devoured. By some He will be rejected. By some His life will be choked out. But for those whom He loves, the Son will go into the ground and die. And in that death, He will bear much fruit. This is the secret of the kingdom of God. This is the wisdom of the love of God. And it may seem foolish in the eyes of men. But friends, that only proves, it only proves that its origin is not human, but divine. For His ways are higher than ours. His foolishness is wiser than our wisdom. His weakness is greater than our strength. So he who has ears this morning, let him hear. The foolishness of the Father who gives His Son for the sake of the world, this is the secret at the heart of the kingdom of God. It is wild. It is unreasonable. And it is the secret of the best story that has ever been told, because it is the good news. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And even now, the time is fulfilled. Even now, the kingdom of God, it is at hand. So now, today, even now, let us repent and believe the gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, indeed, we thank You for the recklessness of Your love, for Your folly in sending Your Son to die. Father, we thank You for the foolishness of the cross and for the secret at the heart of Your kingdom, which is the wideness of Your grace and Your mercy and Your love. Help us, Lord, to believe again this gospel. Help us to put our trust in the one whom You have sent. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.